Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we consider this morning is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. It begins with verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him, and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege to speak a message of truth to you from the Word of God this morning, dear fellow redeemed. There are some people that you just can't win an argument with. We've all probably known someone like that, you know, someone who is very smart and knows a lot about a lot of things, or at least seems to know a lot of facts, and is really good at debating. You may, in fact, be right when you argue about something with this person, but that doesn't matter, because if you even present your argument to them and you make your case clearly and step by step, then that person just changes his tack and sets off arguing in a new direction, bringing a whole new area of discussion. Actually, I suspect there's a little bit of this in each one of us. We all hate to lose a heated discussion. And our flesh likes to take control and do anything in its power to refute the other person just so we win the argument. Well, there are people in our text for this morning that are like that. They were called the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees had taken God's law and they had twisted it into a lengthy rule book that they had to follow. And they did follow, at least outwardly, but inwardly, they were very proud of how well they followed all their own little rules. And they thought they would gain eternal life in heaven by following them. In fact, this idea of self-righteously following laws is often called Phariseeism after them. Our theme for today asks, who would debate with Jesus? Well, in part from our text, we can answer the Pharisees, of course. It's clear they often argued with Jesus, and they tested him, as they do in our text. They do, and the world today does, and even our own sinful flesh tries to debate with Jesus sometimes. Well, our text for today shows that Jesus is not afraid to debate. In fact, he seeks out discussion, not to win an argument, but so that some might hear and believe in him. It'll show that Jesus knows which arguments are false and untrue, and he can refute them. And finally, it'll show that Jesus himself, our Savior, is the answer to all questions asked of him. Jesus is always ready to open a dialogue. He never shies away from a chance to preach the gospel and teach the truth. Look at verse 1. Now it happened as they went to the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. It was common in Jesus' day to invite people over for dinner on the Sabbath, and it was probably a nice feast since the invitation came from one of the rulers. Cook fires and other efforts of cooking were not allowed on the Sabbath because it was a day of rest, so often the meal was largely prepared the day before. Jesus often ate with people that we might at first think he doesn't quite fit in with. He kept company with adulterers, tax collectors, fornicators, and in today's text, he accepts an invitation to eat at the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. Well, Jesus said that he did not come to call sinners, but the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He knew that the people that he really needed to reach were the ones who did not yet believe in him as their Savior. Sometimes, in a small confessional church body like ours, it can be hard to remember how important it is to be ready to tell someone about Jesus. The story is told of a pastor who takes a call to a church and he begins a Bible class series about witnessing your faith to other people. He encourages his members to take every opportunity to talk to their coworkers, friends, neighbors about Jesus, because nothing is more important. Well, shortly after he began the series, no less than three members approached him separately, and they all said just about the same thing. They said, "Pastor, if we talk religion with people of other faith, won't we be violating the fellowship principle?" This is a true story. It's not about me, I can tell you that. The CLC, as you know, is one of the few churches left in the world which sticks to what the Bible says about worshiping with other people who don't hold all of Scripture to be God's Word. We have been fighting the fellowship battle for so long, it's hard for us not to become isolationists. Now, that's an extreme example, and I'm sure that all of us here at Our Saviors would agree that witnessing to others is very important and commanded by God. But you get the point. Talking with someone about sin and grace, telling them what the Bible teaches, is not the same as going to a false teaching church and sitting in their pew and receiving instruction from a false teacher. So that's why we find Jesus gladly accepting the hospitality of the Pharisee leader who invites him to dinner. He's always ready to witness and to share. Who knows who he'll meet there? Now the last part of verse 1, they watched him closely. All is not as it appears. It's not just a dinner. There's a sinister element to this text that we shouldn't miss. This is a trap set to spring on Jesus. It's an attempt by those present, Pharisees and lawyers, to get Jesus to break the law or to fail in some way. The Pharisees wanted to trick Jesus and show how he was a fake and a blasphemer. He was teaching something new to them, that man can't keep God's law, that he needs a savior from sin. And if they could trick him into breaking God's law or their own laws, he would lose credibility and the people wouldn't listen to him anymore. So that's why they're watching his every move. And the plot thickens as we read on, because now we see the bait for the trap. Verse 2. "And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy." Dropsy is also translated edema in some versions. It's a swelling of the tissues due to excess lymph in the blood, and it usually affects the legs especially and can be very painful. Well, where did this man come from? Did he live in this house? Or had he come in from outside in search of Jesus? The text doesn't tell us exactly, but it seems clear the Pharisees had something to do with it. They set up this whole scene in order to test Jesus and catch him in some error. See how devious their plan is. They're watching carefully to see if Jesus will cure this man. And if he does cure them, they could say, "Aha! You're working on the Sabbath day. You just performed a work of healing. And you can't work on the Sabbath, so you haven't kept the law." However, if he doesn't heal the man with dropsy, the Pharisees can say, "Aha! You are not loving your neighbor as yourself. You have this well-known ability to cure illness. If you're the Messiah, you should fulfill the law and heal this man." When the man with dropsy showed up in front of Jesus, the Pharisees had already entered sort of an argument with Jesus. Because by inviting Jesus to dine where a sick man would be, they had in a way posed a question to Jesus. There's no turning back now. The Pharisees have chosen to debate with him. And we've shown it's not wise to debate with Jesus because he's always ready. Now we'll see that Jesus is able to refute every argument that the Pharisees or anyone else can bring. Because Jesus sees right through the trap. He isn't fooled by any of this. He turns the tables on those who would question his wisdom by asking them the very question they were about to ask. Look at verse 3. "And Jesus answering," no one asked him anything out loud, but their hearts were asking. "And he is answering," this is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus up and answers a question that hasn't been verbally spoken yet. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" By asking them that question, he put them on the spot. Because the Pharisees had a host of laws about what exactly you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. The vast majority of those laws were not from God. They had extrapolated them from the law and in some cases made them up out of whole cloth. How far you can walk on the Sabbath, how much you can lift, and so on. But since normally people don't go around healing each other miraculously, they didn't have a law about miraculous healing on the Sabbath. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You might as well have asked them if it's lawful to fly on a jet plane on the Sabbath. They didn't have jet planes. Trick question, for which the Pharisees thought there was no answer. There was an answer, of course. Jesus is the only man who ever interpreted and lived the law of God perfectly. He had to live a perfect life and fulfill the law for us because we never keep the whole law. Jesus knew that part of God's holy law was to love your neighbor like you love your own self and to look out for our fellow man, to do what we can to help him, as Luther said, in every bodily need. Paul says in Romans 13, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And also, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." The teachings of the Pharisees were false arguments against Jesus for two reasons. First of all, because as I said, many of the laws the Pharisees obeyed were made up by men. They were a much expanded version of the Ten Commandments. And second, the Pharisees themselves didn't keep the Ten Commandments, much less all the minor laws that they legislated. They thought they did keep them because they made an outward show of being good and holy. But good works, we know, are a matter of faith, something we do out of love for God and expect nothing in return. So Jesus refutes their argument by turning their own unvoiced question on them, and they were struck dumb. They couldn't answer. Jesus himself is his own answer to every debated question. Dear friends, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He said, "I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the branch." Great David's greater son, the king of the Jews and a light to the Gentiles. Jesus is our answer too. And he proves it from our text right in front of the Pharisees. It says, "He took him and healed him and let him go." Only the true Messiah, God become man, could perform a miracle like this. And Jesus' miracles, all of them, were a seal to prove his genuine godhood to everyone, and to prove that the Son of God was a fit sacrifice for our sins. That's why we don't need to debate with Jesus. He's already won us. He's already purchased us with his precious blood and brought us back together with our Heavenly Father. Jesus answers the Pharisees again. They're still asking questions without speaking words. They have decided in their own minds that healing a man on the Sabbath is work, and therefore it's against the law of God. Jesus says, verse 5, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" God didn't write the Sabbath law so that his children would lose their cattle if they were injured on the Sabbath. God didn't write his law so that his son would not be able to heal someone on that day. The law is real, it is holy, and it has a purpose. The law was given to show our sin and to keep the sin in the world in check. But the Pharisees thought the law was a rule book which, if they followed them, would grant them eternal life. After hearing the example of rescuing livestock from the pit, the Pharisees realized they had completely lost this debate. Jesus was right, they knew. The last verse of our text says, "And they could not answer him regarding these things." Jesus' purpose isn't really to debate, it is to save. And the saddest part of this story is that even though the Pharisees apparently knew that Jesus was right, and even though they saw him heal a man before their very eyes, they still refused to believe. They hardened their hearts to him. Who would debate with Jesus? Not us, I hope. Because which of us here this morning can say, I'm holy and righteous because of the deeds I have done and the way I live my life? Which of us can argue that he deserves eternal life in heaven? Who can argue with the love of God showed to all men by sending his Son to live a perfect life and die a terrible death on the cross? That's where every argument falls, right there at the foot of the cross. And so do we fall there to our knees as we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for winning every debate and settling our greatest question, what must I do to be saved? Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.